Hello and welcome everyone to F1 Extra Session, your favorite Formula One podcast. We are live just after the finish of Bahrain, the first race of the 2021 Formula One season. I'm Sebastian Becerra, your host, and I'm here with Daphne Seberich.
Hello everyone.
How are you, Daphne?
Great, thank you. It was an incredible start to the season, I'd say.
What an epic start, full of drama, full of mistakes, and full of fireworks as always, with Lewis Hamilton just barely holding on for dear life as he defeated
Max Verstappen.
Thank you. I blanked on Max and the Red Bull car. Mercedes again having the top car in the field and winning. No stranger to that is Mercedes, as they dominated last season. It was Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, and then Valtteri Bottas, as Verstappen's getting, unfortunately, used to splitting the two Mercedes. But there was a lot of drama in this race, wasn't there, Daphne?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this was packed with just controversy, I'd say, so, to some point. But, I mean, yeah, we can't wait to tell you what happened.
Before we really get into that, let's go through the top five list. We want to tell you guys how it finished. It was, as we mentioned, Lewis Hamilton taking the top position, winning at Bahrain. And then it was Max Verstappen, followed by Valtteri Bottas. And then it was
Lando Norris, and closing it off with Sergio Perez in fifth, who had a remarkable comeback, I'd say. Yeah, for sure. Since he had to start from the pit lane.
Sergio Perez starting from the pit lane after he had some trouble on the formation lap.
Yes, exactly. There was some trouble already before the start of the race with the battery that had to be changed out even before the race. And during the first of the two formation laps, his car just stalled.
Yeah. The Mexican national, Sergio Perez, or as he's known widely, Checo. Checo Perez. He actually, it's not the first time he's come from all the way from the back of the pack to the top. He won, I think it was Bahrain last year, wasn't it?
It was actually the Sakhir GP, which is the oval version of Bahrain.
Interesting.
So yeah, he had some experience going from the back of the field all the way to the top. He didn't manage it quite today, but
a top five finish.
It's still remarkable.
A good day for Red Bull. They maybe would have wanted more. Let's kind of get into this analysis of the race. But we want to get to a lot of different things. Red Bull had an interesting pit strategy throughout the race, didn't they?
Well, yes. First of all, the decision of pitting Checo Perez for new medium tires, which he was already using for the opening lap of the race, was questionable. But maybe they just tried to go on a longer stint, which didn't work out. But the most interesting strategy, in my opinion, was the decision of not covering the undercut that Mercedes had undergone with Lewis Hamilton in the 14th lap of the race.
And what does that mean exactly with the undercut? For some new Formula One fans, what does that mean?
Yeah. Basically, an undercut is when the car behind pits earlier than the car in front, trying to set faster laps and, let's say, recover the disadvantage it had against his other competitor.
Okay.
So that when the other car and driver would pit, they would be behind.
Makes sense. So it's pitting at a certain time when you know once you get out of the pits, you're going to have an advantage over the cars in front of you.
Basically, yes, because you have fresher tires, yeah. You can do faster laps,
right,
which your competitor doesn't have the chance to.
So that's what Mercedes did with Lewis Hamilton,
exactly.
Specifically, while Red Bull had a bit of a different strategy with Max Verstappen.
Yes, basically, they tried to go on for a longer stint with Max Verstappen, which didn't work out. And then the biggest surprise, I'd say, of Red Bull was to choose to do the second stint with, again, the medium tire, which he started with. That was questionable because everyone thought they would change to the harder compound, which they didn't.
Talk about the difference between the medium tire, the hard tire, and the soft tires. Oh, why do teams change those tires throughout the race?
Basically, the F1 teams are forced, or the F1 drivers are forced, to use two different compounds throughout the race. So if you start, for example, on a soft compound, you're supposed to use either the hard or the medium compound throughout the race. So you have to do at least one pit stop changing the compound that you haven't used already.
So you're required to change the compound at least once per race.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't use throughout the whole race the soft compound or the hard. You have to use a combination of two.
There's a lot of strategy that goes into that.
I'm sure,
to some extent at least, teams prepare for that beforehand and they talk about it beforehand and they plan for that. And then they try to execute it throughout the race.
Exactly. But not always everything goes
As planned,
obviously.
As we saw with Checo having some technical difficulties during the formation lap.
Yes.
Well, really cool stuff there. And that actually played out throughout the race. I do want to get to, before we get any farther from this pit stop strategy, I think that Red Bull made a mistake during their pit stops because they left Verstappen out there for too long and then Lewis was able to catch up to him rather quickly and then extend his lead.
Yeah, the problem that Red Bull had was, I mean, they decided to not cover his first undercut. Lewis Hamilton did then a second undercut in his second pit stop. And then they were forced to go longer with Max Verstappen for his third stint. Mm-hmm. But the issue there was not enough time, or let's say there actually was, but not enough to overtake.
Well, there was a crazy moment there late in the race, which we should have led with this, but Verstappen actually passed Lewis Hamilton with about two laps to go, I believe.
It was,
Three
laps to go.
He passed him, he was passing him on the straight, and then they went into turn four, and Verstappen went a little wide and got a little outside of the track. They had track limits. There was more controversy whether or not there was track limits or there wasn't. But Verstappen felt like there was, and then Verstappen ended up slowing down and let Lewis pass him again. We're gonna talk about that and break that down here in a bit. But that was a huge moment there where Verstappen briefly felt like he was in the lead and in the front in the driver's seat to win the race.
Yes. I mean, we will argue about that later in our
next chaos segment.
Exactly, in our chaos in the cockpit segment. But yeah, Max Verstappen should have won this race. But we'll
get to that later.
We'll get to that later.
We want to talk now about your biggest surprise in this race. We mentioned the top five, but there were some other drivers that finished in behind them in the top 10 that were a bit of a shock for their first race in Bahrain.
All right, I want to start it off with the biggest comeback for this season, honestly, Fernando Alonso. He was just out there thrashing the other competitors until he had to unfortunately retire. But yeah, he was from my point of view in like one of his best shapes. Mm. He proved that he's literally one of the best guys on the grid. So yeah, he was one of the big surprises. But I'd say Tsunoda had the guts to attack some really like Vettel, Sainz. He was
some big onto names.
Big names.
And for those fans that may not be familiar with this young kid, who is Tsunoda? Where does he come from? What's his story, so to speak?
Well, Tsunoda is a Japanese driver who drove in Formula 2 last year and came third, but won Rookie of the Year. And AlphaTauri decided, as he was a Honda driver, contracted under Honda, which is the engine supplier for AlphaTauri and Red Bull, they decided to move him up to Formula 1 with AlphaTauri. And everyone was a little bit surprised because there was Kvyat before then and he's an experienced driver.
Right.
Everyone was surprised, but they were even more surprised when they saw him on track killing it as he conquered the second best spot in Q1.
Wow, unbelievable. In Q1 qualifying rounds where you race to try to get a certain time, fastest time to advance, and that determines your place in the actual and then Sunday's race. How fast did he get in Q1? You said he was one of the fastest?
He was just behind Max Verstappen, like 2/10.
For second place in Q1.
For second place in Q1 with an AlphaTauri. So that's pretty impressive.
Not the best car, right? It's not the best car out of the 10 cars that are in the field. And what was his finishing place in the race?
He just managed to get into the top 10, scoring in his first race of his career in Formula One.
Incredible.
He scored 2 points for AlphaTauri.
That is shocking. 2 points for probably a team that's going to be in the midfield this year.
For sure.
Definitely,
yes.
Will be difficult for them to get into the top three or four, but we'll see what happens. You're listening to F1 Extra Session. I'm Sebastian Becerra, your host. I'm here with expert Daphne Sedrich on all things Formula One. We welcome you to our first ever podcast on Formula One. Of course, today marks the start of the season at Bahrain. A lot of drama, very action-packed. We just kind of took you through some of the different things that went on during the race. But let's talk about the cars themselves. For you, what's the fastest car coming out of week one in Bahrain?
Hands down, Red Bull. Red Bull proved to be super quick with the new Honda engine. Sorry for that. I said it really Italian.
That's
in a
okay.
really Italian way, which I'm from, by the way. For sure, Honda has made some huge improvements compared to when they used to be the engine supplier for McLaren, where actually Fernando Alonso said it's a GP2 engine. So just a little info there. For sure, Red Bull was the favorite to win the race, to get on pole. They just didn't quite manage that.
Their pit strategy seemed a little bit hectic at times, and it seemed a little bit as if it might have not been part of the plan. We had Verstappen, who pitted just twice. And if we're counting Checo Perez's pit at the beginning of the race, where he had a start from pit lane, he pitted four times. So there was a bit of a different strategy for both drivers, which I'm not sure if that's common or not, but what do you think about?
Let's say, I mean, we can all agree on that Checo was the pit man of the race.
Right, yeah.
Because, yeah, he was so often on the pit lane, and obviously he was supposed to start 11th today. Then his car stalled, and he obviously
He fought his way back to fifth.
Exactly. Yeah, which is incredible.
Which is why you say that probably the fastest car is Red Bull.
Yeah,
after
hands
week
down.
One.
Yeah. Hands down. I mean, even Hamilton was struggling to keep his gap to Verstappen enough at the end
right.
of the race.
Technically, he was overtaken, but yeah.
But yeah, well.
But
we'll get into that.
We will. That's good. That's a good point there. Red Bull being the fastest car, but they do have a little bit of maybe a little drama surrounding their engine, right, Daphne?
Well, let's say there was some problems, some technical problems at the beginning of the race, where Max Verstappen was saying that his engine was not properly working, the pedal apparently wasn't giving him enough power, the gas pedal.
Yeah.
So, and there was also the problem with Checo Perez before the race starts with the engine.
The last qualifying session.
Exactly, so who knows?
But it didn't seem to be an issue during the race.
Honestly, maybe that could have been a little bit of a strategy.
Really?
It could be.
I think it was a little sneaky from the Red Bull team to
could have been.
Have
could
some
have
back
been.
And forth, because we heard all of us watching the race, we heard the team engineer from Mercedes tell both Lewis and Bottas as well that Verstappen was having some issues. So that information could have been just a ploy almost.
Yeah, it could be.
Decoy.
I mean, Formula One is known to play, you know, mind games
and
strategy. So it could have been
a very strategic game.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Race, you know, is
100%. So
it's a fun time.
It could have also been only a way to communicating in a secret way between the engineer and Max Verstappen. Mm. It could have been also the truth, but it didn't seem like it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So
awesome. One thing we haven't gotten to yet is the winner, Lewis Hamilton. Again, he's won the most out of anybody, really. So he's just breaking records. Broke another record today. He's now the leader for most laps led in Formula One history. He broke it mid-race. I'm not sure which lap he broke it on, but yeah, it's like 5,100 and something laps that he's led in his career, which is an incredible achievement. What do you make of this? So, yeah, how does this add to his legacy?
Well, obviously he has won 7 world championships. He has 95 wins under his belt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's without a doubt that he's one of the best, and he will be one of the best for many years to come. But at the same time, who knows how much greater he can become.
Right, right. Yeah. There's again, he's on a 1-year contract. We're going to cover a bunch of these topics kind of throughout our next few podcasts. Lewis Hamilton agreeing to a 1-year contract back in February with Mercedes. So we'll see what his future holds. The Mercedes team, can they be beaten this year? They won here close, very close. Hamilton all beating out Verstappen by just a second, maybe.
It was under a second. It was
under a second.
0.7 seconds.
Tight, very slim margin of victory.
Yes.
Sitting here today, do you think Mercedes can be beaten this year?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, because this race was supposed to be won by Max Verstappen, and if it wasn't for, let's say, what we're gonna cover after in our chaos in the cockpit section.
Yeah, here in a bit.
Yes, exactly. I think Mercedes wouldn't have won the race, even though they did have the better strategy, and they do have the best driver on the grid, arguably, let's say. But still, it wasn't enough. To some extent, obviously they did win the race, but
it does feel a little weird.
It could have
knowing
played out.
That it was Max's race to win, and he, whether it was a mistake or whether it was miscommunication or whether, who knows? I mean, maybe he could have made that overpass and gotten away with it, but you never know. But you think they're vulnerable? You think Mercedes are vulnerable this year?
I think they're gonna have a much harder time to confirm themselves.
Yep.
In, you know, the lead, but
yeah.
we'll see how this season plays out, and I think this is gonna be the most exciting season of Formula One to date in the V6 era.
There's a lot of moving parts this year. Of course, Will Buxton, very famous Formula One journalist.
Yes,
he's at most of the races. He said that he thought that this year, as far as last week, whenever he was looking at the testing and all that, preseason testing, he felt that Red Bull were in the best shape to win the Constructors' Championship this year, overtaking Mercedes. So he definitely thinks that Mercedes are vulnerable. You're listening to F1 Extra Session, where we do a little post-race analysis of each Formula One race. Very exciting. Again, Lewis Hamilton taking the top spot on the podium today, but it might not happen as much as it did last season. We'll see about that.
Yes.
The last thing I wanted to get to is drivers to watch the next few races. Which drivers do you think will be in contention for maybe a top 5 spot or even to win?
Ooh, to win.
Yeah, that maybe not drivers that aren't in you know, not Verstappen, not Bottas, and not and not Hamilton.
All right, let's say
outside of those top 4.
Okay, outside of the let's say top 2 teams.
Right, outside of Mercedes or Red Bull, who else can kind of sneak in there, sneak in the top 5, maybe even catch a podium?
I think McLaren. McLaren looked really good today. They really had great pace with Lando Norris, who finished 4th, and Ricciardo was holding pretty well.
I think he finished 7th.
7th.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Mm. Also, we have to mention the incredible rebound catch up that Ferrari had from last season, which was their worst season in F1 to date. And they finished in 6th and 8th, with Leclerc being the latter, the 6th place scorer. So yeah, for sure, Ferrari is also quite interesting. We'll see if they will be able to score a podium, which would mean a lot for the team, for sure, after such a bad year.
This feels
last
like a rebuilding year for Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
Last year was just a very huge disappointment. I think they finished fifth in the Constructors?
Sixth. Which is even worse. Yeah.
Sixth in the Constructors for Ferrari last season. Not what they're used to. They're usually in the top three. And so that's disappointing. This year, maybe they can get things turned around. It's going to be tougher competition, but definitely a good start for Ferrari, especially knowing the talent that's in front of them.
Oh yeah, they have Charles Leclerc, who is probably the most talented driver on the grid with Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. They have Carlos Sainz, which is one of the most consistent drivers on the grid. So yeah, no, they have a great lineup. We'll see how it plays out during the season for them.
Good stuff. Well, that's our On The Grid segment where we just talk about what happened during the race and what we feel is going, to happen moving forward with these drivers and teams. Again, Lewis Hamilton taking the top spot, no surprise there. But it was a lot closer than it's been historically. So that was really exciting. Anyways, we're going to be moving on to our most exciting segment here on F1 Extra Session. Chaos in the cockpit, where we talk about just crazy stuff that's happened during the race or things that are, drama surrounding the race itself, what's going on, controversies, protests, all the sort. And here we got to talk about the Red Bull team and Verstappen's choice here. Right after Verstappen passed Lewis Hamilton with three laps to go on turn four, not long after, maybe three or four seconds after, Verstappen started slowing down and then let Lewis pass him again. Lewis passed him over, and we heard the audio, and it was basically saying that it might have been violating track limits. Verstappen might have been violating the track limits on the pass. Get into that more.
Yes, basically during the race, Red Bull, we heard on TV, Red Bull talked with Max Verstappen over the radio saying that Mercedes was breaking the rules, going off the track limits at turn four, and that Verstappen could actually do it as well. So then the whole investigation started with the FIA saying that there were no track limits. So then there was a little bit of confusion because then apparently there were track limits said by Mercedes and
right,
from Bono, the engineer of Mercedes, saying to tighten up the corner.
That's what I was going to get to. We heard it on the radio there. Bono was talking with Hamilton about this. They had this pretty lengthy conversation as far as formula, in-race conversations go. Bono telling Hamilton that you have to tighten up the corners. There's track limits in this race. And Hamilton telling Bono, hey, look, there's no track limits. I've been doing this all race. What do you mean this race doesn't have track limits? And they had this kind of discussion. Ultimately, they came to the conclusion that, in fact, there are track limits. And that was kind of a weird time for me and you sitting watching it, because we were under the we had the understanding that there weren't any. But so there was confusion as to whether there was track limits or not, which I think we already explained earlier. But track limits is when you can't go outside of a certain corners,
yes.
the racetrack.
Yes, basically at every race, the FIA designates some track limits, and if you cross them with both your tires, for example, turn four here in Bahrain, if you go with all four tires beyond the white line,
okay,
you automatically get a warning, and then you can get a black and white flag, and after that, you could get a 5-second penalty.
Interesting. So could Verstappen have gotten away with a warning on his overtake?
Well, that's the thing. Who knows what the FIA could have decided
right.
on that pass? Because technically, we don't know how often Verstappen had gone over track limits before during the race.
But he could have risked it. Verstappen could have risked it, kept going, not stopped, and finished the race in first, and then seen what the FIA decided later. I mean, it could have been, you could have done that, right? I mean,
yes. No. The thing that I think was going through Christian Horner's mind was that they called Mercedes out. They said that there were track limits, in fact. It would be kind of, let's say,
It's ironic.
It's ironic.
In a bad way. It's kind of like you're calling a team out, and then when you do it, I mean, it hurt him in the most critical time of the race for Red Bull. It hurt him whenever they were and they overtook Lewis Hamilton, and then they were off the track limits. Yes. So, but they did call him out earlier, which was your point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what actually bit them in the butt,
In a way.
In a way, for sure.
Do you think this was a... In situations like these, Toto, the Mercedes boss, calls up Christian Horner, the Red Bull team leader there, and tells him, hey, look, you did this, so call your guy off? Or is that a situation that Verstappen, their driver, takes it upon himself, he realized he made a mistake? Or is that just Red Bull as a team, without even Mercedes intervening, do they just tell him, hey, look, you did this, stop now and maybe pass him late? Whose decision is that ultimately?
So for sure it's not Toto Wolff's decision, because that would be too much power into someone else's team.
Right.
I think usually those type of things happen after the race or during
the race.
Because
it was a very quick decision. Yes, so it seems to me with that, it happened literally 3 or 4 seconds after the overtake for Verstappen. So it seems to me the way it looked like it was his own decision.
Well,
in a way, I don't know. That's all it looked like, but
I don't think a personality like Max Verstappen would take such a decision and think about the rules, because he has had some controversial decisions with, let's say, rules and stuff.
In the past.
So I think it was the team. I mean...
So it was a quick phone in by the team engineer from Red Bull.
Yes.
What's his name again?
Lambiase.
Lambiase phoned in Verstappen on the radio, told him, hey, look, this is a situation, you gotta let him pass you here. Or risk a penalty later.
Yes, exactly.
Well, crazy stuff there. That is Chaos in the Cockpit segment. That's literally the most important part of the race that we just explained, where Verstappen overtook Lewis Hamilton for the lead with 3 laps to go. One of the most exciting finishes to a start of a Formula One season that we could have asked for.
Yes,
and then he made a bit of a wide turn and went off the track momentarily on the pass, on the overtake there. So he had to let Lewis pass him again, and after that, Lewis maintained the margin and went on to win once again. So, good stuff there. So here's what Max had to say after the race.
It's what it is. But in a way, I mean, of course I'm disappointed about today, but last year we would be super happy with a race like this, so it also shows how much we have grown, and I think it's still a positive start to the season.
So Lewis Hamilton, of course, taking first place at Bahrain. Here's what he had to say after the race.
Oh, I'm so happy. I really, really am. Absolutely over the moon just to see the response from the team. Knowing how difficult today really was, it was so tough. For the first race, I was not expecting that we'd be in that position, be able to keep up with them in the first stint and stuff. So I was really grateful for it.
All right, and now for our next segment, off-track chit-chat. We're going to talk about some of the things that not necessarily happened during the race, but some things that have been kind of circulating around the race in Bahrain, which includes something with David Coulthard and his birthday, as well as what happened last year in Bahrain with Grosjean and that terrible accident crash he had. But we're gonna get a little bit of an update of what he's doing. We're gonna talk about that up next with our third member of our crew, Zoe Guimard. She's gonna be tuning in remotely, so she's very passionate as well. So we just want to introduce her and have her discuss a little bit about her passion for the sport, as well as how she saw this race, and of course talk about David Coulthard and Grosjean. So here's Zoe.
Hello guys, how good is it to be talking about F1 again? Those are the kind of Sundays we like. And as you said, the first race didn't disappoint in terms of action and surprises. But as the two other wonderful people on this podcast talked about what happened during the Bahrain race, I'm going to bring you some off-track stories. Well, we have to start with a Red Bull anecdote to honor, in my opinion, the guy of the race, Max Verstappen, of course. I'm sure you agree with me. Yesterday, he was feeling a little playful as he celebrated David Coulthard's birthday with a nice cake smash. Apparently, it's a tradition because David already got the same courtesy 10 years ago by no other than Sebastian Vettel. But anyways, if you don't know who DC is, let me tell you. He's a former F1 driver who raced from 1994 to 2008 for Williams, McLaren and Red Bull. And he actually was the first one to score a podium for Red Bull in 2006 in Monaco. So you can imagine how important he is for the team and how great their relationship is too. That's why Max was like, let me give you a little something for your birthday. but after David retired from racing, he worked as a consultant for Red Bull. And now he's a commentator for F1, and you can still see him and hear him on Channel 4. But yeah, that was nice to just talk about him a little, because he's a legend, and especially for Red Bull.
So last year in Bahrain, Romain Grosjean had this terrible crash where he was literally on fire. His car split in two, and he went and he was on fire. It took about 2 minutes and 45 seconds for him to get out of the flames, and he survived, miraculously survived. And it really put Formula One's, put the world on stop for a second. All the drivers, all the teams were just holding their breath, hoping that he was okay. And he turned out to be okay. But we're gonna get an update. Zoe's gonna tell us how he's been doing since that almost tragic accident, but he's fully recovered now and moved on from the sport. So we're gonna get an update on that.
I wanted to say a word about one guy we will miss on track. Romain Grosjean was not on the green for the first time since 2012, after he retired from F1 last year. Of course, we all remember what happened last year at the same exact Bahrain track, where the French-Swiss had an horrific crash, and literally walked out of fire. That was something, but thankfully there was no major accident this Sunday and it erases all the bad memories from last year, and it starts the 2021 season on a good note, so that was good. But now Romain Grosjean will race in the IndyCar series in the United States this year in 2021, and that's kind of why he left Formula One, right? Because he didn't have the results he expected to have, and he wasn't really fighting for any positions. So he thought, maybe I have a shot in IndyCar, so that's why he went there. And we wish him all the best, good health and good results in the US. Well, you guys, that was it today from my side, from Zoé Guimard, and I will talk to you again after the next race. Back to you, Daphne and Sebastian.
Thanks, Zoé, for the off-track chit-chat segment. We are going to conclude now. We want to thank you all for listening to the first episode of F1 Extra Session, where we talk and to kind of break down, do some analysis about what just happened in the race. First race of the Formula One season ends with Lewis Hamilton taking first, Max Verstappen taking second, and Valtteri Bottas taking third. And for Daphne Sebrich, I'm Sebastian Becerro. We'll see you next week. Make sure to follow us on social media, and we will be right back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.